6. Baer stood on the circular stone platform at the top of the tower, looking out to the ocean, where two lines of moonlight traced narrow silver lines across the restless waters. Behind her, the tower's crystal dome was dark. She'd gone to bed at the same time as Dujail, who tired more quickly these days. They'd made their apologies and left the others to fend for themselves. Cran, Aist, and Tully were all friends from the GCU Unacceptable Behavior, another of the Quietly Confident's daughterships. They'd known Dujail for 20 years. The three had been aboard the Quietly Confident 4 years earlier, and were some of the last people Baer and Dujail had seen before they'd left for Telaturia. The Unacceptable Behavior was looping through this volume, and they'd persuaded it to let them stop off here for a couple of days and see their old friends. The moons glittered their stolen light across a fretful dance of waves, and Baer too reflected, glanding a little diffuse, and thinking that the moon's V of light, forever converging on the observer, encouraged a kind of egocentricity, an overly romantic idea of one's own centrality to things, an illusory belief in personal precedence. She remembered the first time she'd stood here and thought something along these lines, when she'd been a man, and he and Dujail had not long arrived here. It had been the first night he and Dujail had, finally at last, after all that fuss, lain together. Then he'd come up here in the middle of the night while she'd slept on, and gazed out over these waters. It had been almost calm then, and the moon's tracks, when they rose, and quite as though they rose and did not rise for him, lay shimmering, slow and near unbroken, on the untroubled face of the ocean's slack waters. He'd wondered then if he'd made a terrible mistake. One part of his mind was convinced he had. Another part claimed the moral high ground of maturity and assured him it was the smartest move he'd ever made, that he was indeed finally growing up. He decided that night that even if it was a mistake, that was just too bad. It was a mistake that could only be dealt with by embracing it, by grasping it with both hands, and accepting the results of his decision. His pride could only be preserved by laying it aside entirely for the duration. He would make this work. He would perform this task and be blameless in the self-sacrifice of his own interests to Dujail's. His reward was that she had never seemed happier, and that almost for the first time he felt responsible for another's pleasure on a scale beyond the immediate. When, months later, she'd suggested that they have a child, and later still, while they were still mulling this over, that they mutual, for they had the time and the commitments. He had been extravagant in his enthusiasm, as though through such loud acclaim he could drown out the doubts he heard inside himself. Baer, a soft voice said from the little cupola that gave access from the steps to the roof. She turned round. Hello.
Hi. Couldn't sleep either, eh?
S said, joining Baer at the parapet. She was dressed in dark pajamas, her naked feet slap-slapped on the flagstones.
No, Baer said.
She didn't need much sleep. Baer spent quite a lot of time by herself these days, while Dujail slept, or sat cross-legged in one of her trances, or fussed around in the nursery they'd prepared for their children.
"Same here,"
S said, crossing her arms beneath her breasts and leaning out over the parapet, her head and shoulders dangling over the drop. She spat slowly. The little fleck fell whitely through the moonlight and disappeared against the dark slope of the tower's bottom story. She rocked back onto her feet and moved some of her medium-length brown hair off her eyes, while she studied Baer's face, a small frown just visible on her brow. She shook her head. "You know," she said, "I never thought you'd be the one to change sex, let alone have a kid." "Same here," Baer said, leaning on the parapet and gazing out to sea. "Still can't believe it sometimes." Es leant beside him. "Still, it's okay, isn't it? I mean, you're happy, aren't you?" Baer glanced at the other woman. "Isn't it obvious?" Es was silent for a while. Eventually she said, "Tjay loves you very much. I've known her 20 years. She's changed completely too, you know, not just you. She was always really independent, never wanted to be a mother, never wanted to settle down with one person, not for a long time anyway, not until she was old. You've both changed each other so much. It's really something. Almost scary, but, well, sort of impressive, you know." "Of course." There was silence for another while. "When do you think you'll have your baby?" Est asked. "How long after she has—" "Ren, isn't it?" "Yes, Ren. I don't know. We'll see." Baer gave a small laugh, almost more of a cough. "Maybe we'll wait until Ren is grown up enough to help us look after it." Est made the same noise. She leant on the parapet again, lifting her feet off the flagstones and balancing, pivoting on her folded arms. "How's it been here, being so far away from anybody else? Do you get many visitors?" Baer shook her head. "No, you're the only third lot of people we've seen." "Gets lonely, I suppose. I mean, I know you've got each other, but—" "The Katik are fun," Baer said. "They're people, individuals. I've met thousands of them by now, I suppose. There is something like 20 or 30 million of them. Lots of new little chums to meet." Est sniggered. "Don't suppose you can get it off with them, can you?" Baer glanced at her. "Never tried. Doubt it." "Boy, you were some swordsman, Baer," Est said. "I remember you on the Quietly, first time we met. I'd never met anyone so focused," she laughed, "on anything. You were like a natural force or something. An earthquake or a tidal wave." "Those are natural disasters," Baer pointed out with faint frostiness. "Well, close enough then," Hare said, laughing gently. She glanced slowly at the other woman. "I suppose I'd have found myself in the firing line if I'd stuck around longer." "I imagine you might," Baer said, in a tired, resigned voice. "Yep, could all have turned out completely different," Ayres said. Baer nodded. "Or it could all have turned out exactly the same." "Well, don't sound so happy about it," Ayres said. "I wouldn't have minded." She leant over the parapet and spat delicately again, moving her head just so, flicking the spittle outward. This time it landed on the gravel path which skirted the tower's stone base. She made an approving noise, and looked back at Baer, wiping her chin and grinning. She looked at Baer, studying his face again. "It's not fair, Baer," she said. "You look good, no matter what you are." She put one hand out slowly towards Baer's cheek. Baer looked into her large dark eyes. One moon started to disappear behind a ragged layer of high cloud, and a small wind picked up smelling of rain. A test for her friend, Baer thought, as the other woman's long fingers gently stroked her face, feather soft. But the fingers were trembling. Still a test. Determined to do it, but nervous about it. Baer put her hand up and held the woman's fingers lightly. She took it as a signal to kiss her. After a little while, Bayer said, "Est," and started to pull away. "Hey," she said softly, "this doesn't mean anything, all right? Just lust doesn't mean a thing." A little later still, Bayer said, "Why are we doing this?" "Why not?" Est breathed. Bayer could think of several reasons, asleep in the stony darkness beneath them. "How I've changed," she thought. "But then again, not that much.